No, you don't have it on. You have mine on, but you don't have your cell phone. I don't know. You're cleverly hidden. Welcome to the Get Tanked Happy Hour. I am Tank. We've got Quimby over there. We got Quimby over there trying to figure out what's happening on the Wheels of Steel. I'd like to welcome you guys to another episode of Get Tanked Happy Hour during our times of quarantine and need of togetherness.
Did that work?
Yes, it did work. There you go. Now you're kicking with bacon grease.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You would think I don't know what I'm doing at this point. 8 years doing this shit, and I still can't figure it out.
My channel just blew.
Your channel just blew?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
No, I hit mute.
How do you turn yourself on?
I hit the mute button somehow. I have no idea. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, live atop our beautiful Northern Liberty studios here at 2nd and Brown, Northern Liberty section of Philadelphia. How you guys doing? Are you fucked yet? We are.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Diaz said I can't swear anymore.
The fuckinging has already started.
We can't, though.
We can't. We got to hold down on the swearing.
God, I don't even know what to do with myself at this point. It is brutal. Live, however, this just in.
What up, James? What's up?
Important
information.
Very important news.
What?
We just got a clip.
Oh, okay.
The first person that had the coronavirus.
Yep.
And what took place and their explanation of how everything went down, and we're going to play that for you live right now. I hope. Oh, you bastard.
He's working it.
I'm going to get it, I swear. Damn it, it was funny, too.
As you go, what's up, Dan? What's up, Carlton? The other Carlton?
Did everybody get that? That's from the first person that had coronavirus.
Oh, man.
There was nothing racist about that.
Slightly, but
it was funny.
It was slightly funny. That's probably why it took you so long. Like,
if it hit right away, it would have been funnier.
But waiting on it?
That sucks. Sucks. Sorry about that. What's up, everybody? Another 80s weekend. We have a great show lined up for you tonight.
What's up, Jolly?
This is the Diva episode.
Oh, yes. The Diva episode.
Hollis and I, and actually a couple of our friends on Facebook, have been talking to us about this all week.
Not only all week, but it's been all free agency.
Free agency, yeah, exactly. And it's the alarmingly transparent epidemic within the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's that they can't hit on a wide receiver.
Right.
Whether it's free agency,
right?
Whether it's the draft.
The draft, yes.
For the last, since 19, okay, here we go. Since the 1982 draft.
Mike Quick.
I mean, when was the last time you said or thought you had a franchise wide receiver? Okay, we always tag quarterbacks. We need a franchise quarterback. Right. We need a franchise quarterback. All right, we never say we need a franchise running back unless you're a running team. We're not. All right, but we're a throwing team.
We're a little bit of both.
We're a throwing team.
What do we win, Willem?
I understand, but we're a throwing team.
When we throw 40-plus times, what transpires?
Losses.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Understood, and I get you. But, Derby, what's up, bud? Aunt Lynn, what's up? Ira, Bren, good to see you guys. Megan over in Chicago.
What up, Stacey?
You and I still need to hook up, and I mean that literally and figuratively. So we still haven't hit.
Somebody just brought something to my attention. Somebody was 12 years old and excited for Pinkston.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about that. Don't bring up anything more.
Okay.
Okay? Don't bring up anything more.
Okay.
Because you're talking about our number two pick in 2000
right.
was Todd Pinkston. How about that?
God awful.
Yeah.
That's my boy, but.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Go ahead. I was going to say what lost the respect, but I'll tell you.
We'll have plenty of time for that.
Okay.
This is you playing chess.
Yes, a little bit. Little
all
bit.
Right. So we're going to go over the wide receiver position tonight. We're going to go over history with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to go over bad draft picks. on wide receivers. We're going to bring up names that you guys probably wouldn't remember unless we did, and probably didn't want to remember.
This is true.
We're going to go over statistics that show,
whoa,
historically, Brent Celek is the seventh best receiver in the history of this team.
Mm.
How scary is that?
Man, who's ahead of him? There's some other tight ends ahead of him, isn't it?
Well, just one.
Ertz.
Ertz.
Yeah.
All right.
Chad Lewis should be right up there.
Chad Lewis is below him.
Oh, a little bit below?
No, Chad didn't play as long.
Yeah, because
Lisfranc, he was done. But we're going to go over that. Let's also talk real fast about our sponsors.
Yes.
I do not
pay
want
some
to.
Bills.
I actually had a nice long conversation with Marty Farrell today.
Okay.
From Miller Lite. Marty, I don't know if you're watching. I didn't catch you in there. I'm trying to do four things at one time. But our biggest sponsor, of course, Green Legion, for the last 15 years, Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer, you're drinking Miller Lite.
Damn, Skippy.
If you're drinking vodka, make sure you drink Stateside Vodka. That is premium distilled vodka right here in beautiful Fishtown. Of course, we do have our craft beer, and that's Workhorse out of King of Prussia. Our good friend Dan Hirschberg sponsoring all of our tailgates last year. Bucks County Baseball Company. You can't go to the store, but you can go to the website, BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. Check it out. All your vintage Eagles gear and many more opportunities to purchase stuff that's green, red, white, and blue, and orange and black. I knew I could get through that. Our good friend Mike McVeigh over at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep, who's going to be a big fan of the new radio show coming up. Cavs Restaurants, our good friend Ken Hutchings, Brian Pavlicek, and Pat Pavlicek. Cavs Riverdeck when it opens back up. Cavs Head House at 2nd and South. Cavs Rittenhouse on Sansom Street between 18th and 19th. And Cavanaugh's University City at 39th and Sansom. Make sure you check out three of those four places, the ones that are open for takeout or delivery options right now. They are available, as well as our friends in Manayunk at Bourbon Blue at the bottom of Rector Street and the Bayou and Cactus. When the weather starts to break and people can start playing again, don't forget about their love child, the Manayunk Sport and Social Club.
Boom!
The most social intramural sports leagues in the city. Bam. Got it. I won't do it anymore. I got this thing.
Yes.
Of course, our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, East Market, our good friend Jeff Quinn across the bridge at Echelon Health and Fitness, Jari Evans at Somo Sophie. Don't forget about Somo Manayunk. And, of course, our good friend Sean Brace at Philly Influencer and 102.5 The Gambler.
Ah, nice. Crucial.
Let me say that again. 102.5 The Gambler.
Say it one more time with a little more love.
102.5 The Gambler.
Yes.
We'll be back right up. Oh, sorry. Practicing.
Practicing. Good things. Mazel, mazel.
Our good friends Gail, E-Rock, Trox, all the boys over at 4th and John. Had some interesting stuff to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Looks like there might be a pregame show at 1100 Social with a few of these boys I just talked about.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting.
Both the Scots.
And, of course, our biggest sponsor, Chickies and Pete, South Philadelphia, our good friend Pete down there, and our friends Sean McGranahan, Roger, all you guys, just phenomenal. We can't be any more happy with what you guys did for us over football season.
Nice.
So, We thank you for that. Okay.
No.
Diva episode, baby.
Yes.
It's time to start. It is time to start the Diva episode.
Did you prequel me that like that before I give you what happened today?
Yeah,
on this April Fool's?
It's not ready to start, but
April Fool's Day.
Hollis, what happened on April Fool's Day in sports history?
Well, obviously today is the 92nd day of the year. Unfortunately, that the one thing that I do not like is I can't return this year back after a 90-day trial. So we're gonna go into today. April the 1st, the 92nd day of the year. There's 274 days left. Today, obviously, is a national holiday. It's April Fool's Day. Today is also Fun at Work Day. Also, today is the Day of Hope. If anybody out there realizes the Day of Hope, I think it's everybody who's quarantined. Also, today is I couldn't get by today without some grub. Today is National Sourdough Bread Day. I don't know about you, but I enjoy a sandwich made with sourdough. And the last and final holiday that I'm gonna bring to you today is it's called Reading Funny Day for the Saint Stupid People. Reading for Saint Stupid People. That's a holiday so for people who are kind of stupid. And it was one of those other things, too.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, no, cheers. Sorry about this. It's a happy hour. So that the happy hour begins, there's a red cup.
Mm. Oh, God, that hurt.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh. I'm a man, and I win.
Yeah, you do.
But now we're going to get to some events. We're going to start off with the dollar sign. You know the dollar sign they said at the beginning of money? It was actually invented today.
It was invented by Ted DiBiase?
No, it was invented by a businessman, Oliver Pollock, out of New Orleans in 1778.
Jay Vagnetti says she's a diva and wins, Hollis.
She's a diva and she wins?
Yep.
Well, I'll put that to the test.
What's up, Mel? What's up, Darlene?
We have in 1891, the Wrigley's company has founded for that delicious Wrigley Spearmint Gum. Not for the field, though. The field is horrible. 1954, the U.S. Air Force Academy was established. 1963, General Hospital premiered, the TV show with Luke and Laura. I don't think they were on there at that time. We have 1985, guess who won the national championship? Villanova.
Villanova.
Yeah, Villanova.
They won it again the other day on CBS.
On CBS, yes, they won it again the other day. I put this
Frank,
one in.
What's up?
I put this
what's
one
up,
in.
Townie?
I put this one in here mainly because everybody's been to the Division of Motor Vehicles. Well, today, and not had a stellar time. We'll say, today in 1967, the U.S. Department of Motor Vehicles was established.
Okay.
And then we got a.
And that started the hell that is our world.
Exactly. We have in 1990 WrestleMania IV.
Uh oh.
Ultimate Warrior defeated Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes. To win both the WWF Championship and the Intercontinental Championship.
The year after.
What?
90. Are you sure? Are you sure this wasn't the year that.
1990.
Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake Randy Savage.
No, that was after that.
Was it 91?
Yeah, it was 91, yeah. Because I have another one on here. I had to put this one on here. You know, that Stone Cold beat The Rock in 2001.
Did he?
Yeah, WrestleMania.
Oh, my God, The Rock was in 2001?
No, in 2001, yep.
Jesus.
And also, you maybe skip over. You smell what The Rock is cooking. 1991, guess what the minimum wage was in 1991?
What was that?
$3.80.
Wow.
And it went to $4.25 in 1991.
I know that because my mom had to start working when my parents got divorced.
Yeah. I worked.
CBS, baby.
In 2004, Google was introduced as Gmail.
Jamie Hollenbach wants to know where Jersey is, and there's a new moonshine flavor that came out there.
Oh, what's the new moonshine flavor?
Yeah, what's the new... Jamie, don't go there. What's the new moonshine flavor? Damn it.
And we got a couple of quick birthdays. We got the 1972, Alan and Albert Hughes. They do a lot of films. The Menace to Society and a bunch of other films they were privy to. 1980, Randy Orton.
Up? Randy Orton.
Yes.
Wow.
Josh Zuckerman, the actor.
Okay.
And then we have in 1985, 1983, Sean Taylor. I put him in there because it was an untimely death. The guy passed away defending his family in an intruder. Ah. I didn't want to bring us down, but I like the kid.
Yeah, way to bring us down, dude.
Sorry about that. And I wanted to bring us right back up with Brooke and Robin Lopez, 1988.
All right, there you go. That'll do it.
That's all I got for you today, for this day in history. I figured you would come up with something to stump me.
Nah, there's no stumping right now. I'm stumping myself. That's about the only thing. All right, everybody, we're going to talk right now about the diva.
Yes.
The diva position that is the NFL.
Yes.
All right, look, I was a receiver.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to take that, but okay, continue.
Ba-dum-bum. It's a fact that receivers just don't want to get hit. You know, that's why they get hit the least.
Yeah, well, they get the least now. See, back when... back a little bit before I played and into when I played, I don't know. That's why Dawkins is so revered, because he was like one of the last few safeties that could make people fear coming across the middle.
Right,
and that's the thing. When they was divas back then, they had a reason to be divas. I was watching a Football Life, and they were showing Starworth and how they made him scared to come across the middle.
Really?
Yep. Continue your divaness.
No. I'm getting ready to put this sign up a few times tonight.
Okay.
All right. So,
Trent Cole.
Is watching?
Yeah. What's up?
Tell him he has beautiful eyes.
I'm not telling him that. What up, Trent?
So, here we go. This team, since 1982, has not hit on a receiver.
Right.
All right. You know, you could argue Macklin and Deshaun to a degree.
To a degree, yeah.
But they're not what you would consider
a true number one.
A true number one, you know, hit on absolute, you know, reliable, always going to catch the ball when it's necessary receiver. Right. So we've had to go get that in the free agency market. And we haven't really done well there either. So I'm going to give you guys some interesting stats this evening. We're going to take this first interesting stat, all right? And you're going to find out how crazy, how absolutely crazy some of these statistics are. Obviously, Harold Carmichael is going to lead us in everything, all right? He's not going away anytime soon. Although, right. Zach Ertz will break, if he stays healthy, his receptions record this year, all right? But total yards receiving?
Right.
Obviously, Harold Carmichael, number one.
Correct.
Pete Retzlaff, I don't even know. He's a 50s player.
50s player, yeah.
Mike Quick, number three.
Yep.
Now, interesting enough, DeSean Jackson is number four.
Yeah.
All right, with 6,276 total yards receiving with this team. Zach Ertz is fifth. All right? Zach Ertz is fifth.
Right.
Fifth on this team in total receiving yards in NFL history.
Mm. And is it eighth year? Or is it ninth year going to his ninth year?
Zach?
Yeah.
No.
Is he? Sure?
I don't know. Hold on. I can find that out.
Maybe six or seven.
He has played since two. He's going into his eighth, he's going into his eighth year. You're right.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I keep getting everybody, my pop-ups, people are saying stuff while you're talking. They're like, so somebody who wanted to interrupt you say, the ghost of DK Metcalf is upon us.
Yeah, no shit. Pete Pyhos, 1947.
1947, yeah.
Tommy McDonald,
yeah. All right. That's my guy. I love him.
Bobby Walston from the early 50s. All right. And Brent Celek. Okay. Guys, there's a glaring problem here.
Correct.
Brent Celek is number nine, top most receiving yards as an Eagle in Eagles history. Number nine. Jeremy Macklin is number 10. That's sick.
It's sad.
It's sick and it's sad. Freddie Barnett, number 12. Calvin Williams.
Calvin.
Here, if we want to go receptions.
Right.
All right, this gets even weirder.
Uh-huh.
Guess who's number two? All-time.
Probably Zach.
Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz. Receptions as a Philadelphia Eagle. Number two. All-time. Number two. How? All right, guess who's number four?
Who's that?
B. West, baby.
Westbrook.
Guess who's number five?
Ty Pinkston?
Brent fucking Celek. Brent Celek is your number five all-time leading receptions receiver.
Yep.
Okay, where are we going with this? Guys, you've got to hit on one this year.
At some point in your life.
At some point in your
In your history,
you've got to hit on one.
Yeah,
and it's just not happening. Yeah. And it's starting here. All right, the glaring problem. Okay, how many years? It's about every three, maybe.
Yep.
All right, we go through into an off season,
right.
And go. Well, we have to address the receiver position.
Yeah,
we have to address the receiver position.
Yep.
We have to address the receiver position.
Yep.
We have to address the receiver position.
Correct.
We have to address it's a damn broken record, and I'm getting tired of it.
You know, the weird thing is, I think not only are you tired, I think the fans are getting tired. And I think the main reasons why we continue to go through this this twilight zone or this ever so prominent Groundhog Day with the receiver position is because when we go for free agency, we don't this is why Bill Walsh was great. I felt like Bill Walsh was one of the greatest coaches ever. Remember I told you he had the committee of people to see if this guy will fit in, to see if this guy would mesh with our quarterback. Right now they're going through the list of people, and for all intents and purposes, I agree with what they're doing. They're trying to find guys who match with Carson. It's like you don't need anybody in there on two different damn pages. I was like, if that's your franchise QB, you got to get some people.
So
yeah,
no, go ahead.
So, you got to get a few guys in here that he meshes with. Right now, you see that he really meshes with Greg Lewis. No, with Zach Ertz.
Oh, of course.
With Zach Ertz. I think he had a little bit of rapport. He was starting to gain a little bit of rapport with Deshaun, but Deshaun didn't get to play.
Right.
So it's like I don't think he has that rapport with Alshon, which is why this is more likely going to be his last year in this uniform.
Well, that's because Alshon and him were fucking battling it out.
Yeah, and in order for you to be a leader, you have to show and prove and do that dance until it don't move.
Rob Valieve is joining us. Josh Bell, Kathy, Jason, Antonio, what's up, you guys? All right, we're talking about the fact that the Eagles cannot seem to hit on a receiver.
Yeah.
Are we at a crossroads? Are we at a crossroads in the NFL where it's not time to find that receiver? Do we have to find somebody that meshes with a quarterback? We can't just find that all around stud receiver.
When you invested this much into Carson, you got to find somebody that's going to – or else we're going to still be reading off numbers like you just read off. We're going to be continuing to get guys in here who will be Band-Aids and will not be fixtures for 4 or 5 years to be able to even get close to the guys' numbers that you're speaking of. In order to do that, if you keep missing, if you keep going with the – not even Ty Pinkston, if you keep going with the Reggie Browns, if you keep going with – so you didn't,
don't start saying all these names, okay, man. You're going to ruin my next set.
Okay. Well, if you keep going through all those type of guys, I had one that I was going to pull out of the head. I'm not going to pull it out. It's like, but if you keep going through these type of guys, it's kind of like what Donovan was going through. Donovan went through this every quarterback that's been here. You go through the same thing. Unless it's like you have to go all the way back to when they had Irvin Fryer, a guy who actually went to the Pro Bowl as a receiver. Irvin Fryer and Christy Jones, who looked like he was about to develop, but then he tore up his knee. It's like when you look at stuff like that.
Irvin Fryer receptions total as an Eagle. Number 27th.
How many, though?
Huh?
How many, though? He was only
222.
Yeah, 3 years. That was 3 years.
We got to get the guy that's going to be here for a little while.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You have to get somebody.
But you can't just keep looking for a guy that's going to mesh with your quarterback, because your quarterback might not be around.
Yeah, but you still have to get somebody.
You can't find somebody that's just an all-around fucking perfect receiver.
No, you're not going to find that. And that's not what you're looking
for. Big, fast, catch the ball. That's it. What else do you need?
And he's going to be a bitch.
Well, we all know they're going to be a bitch.
He's going to be a diva.
They're divas.
Only thing that I have to say is name me one diva that's got a Super Bowl ring.
I can name you a couple.
Name it. Give it to me. I'm talking about a diva that talked as much shit and wanted the ball all the time.
T.O. does not have one, right?
No, he doesn't.
Hold on.
A diva. Give me a diva.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss ain't got no Super Bowl ring.
He didn't win one with New England?
Nope.
Michael Irvin?
Michael Irvin wasn't a diva. He didn't wear. He didn't
Michael catch. Irvin is the biggest
trust,
diva.
Trust me. No, he's not.
Please.
Did he bitch him on when they ran the ball with Emmitt? Did he always say, "I want the ball, give me the ball"?
We got to hold off on that.
Okay, that's what I'm
saying. I've got top 10 diva receivers of all time.
Okay, but
three of them have Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, but I never thought that. Well, the ones you're probably thinking of, when I say divas, I'm talking about the one that's always look.
Okay,
look,
hey, diva look at me. / bitch.
Exactly. Hey, look at me. It's like you haven't done shit.
No, okay, I get that.
Yeah,
right. Matt, Bill, Antonio, good to see you guys. Mike, good to see you. You know what? Let's take our first break.
We're gonna take our first break right now.
Hold on a second.
We're gonna pay some bills. But remember, this show is about the diva that's receiver and our troubles, and we're bringing you all the 1980s music that we can harness.
Yeah, and we had a good one on last time,
but
I'm gonna play it again.
I like your sister, but come on.
You don't like a little Dan Hartman again?
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I can dream about you, girl. We'll be right back.
All right. We'll be back on Green Legion Radio right after this to get tagged happy hour. Everybody that's watching on video, stay with me. You guys are going to come have a drink with us.
Cure this old heart of mine. I can dream about. you have feelings.
Calling in, but we're still on songs. Everybody, we're coming back from break here, but we do have a community service announcement for you.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila.
Diaz, you're an idiot. What's up?
What's up, fellas? I'm happy to join you guys this afternoon. I know all the loyal listeners of Green Legion Radio have been waiting all day for some knowledge, and I'm happy to oblige and get on the phone with you guys and talk some Eagles and some Diva wide receivers.
You know what? I was about 3 more seconds from hanging up on him.
Especially the knowledge
part. Well, I'm trying to break the record. I'm consistently trying to break my record. Here, okay. So,
Rachel Sack, shut up, Diaz.
Hey, Miss Sack.
What's happening, Mrs. Sack? Matt Kelly, how hysterical is that? I got that if anybody wants the commercial. There's video with it, too,
to be honest with
you. Sean Henderson, shut up, Diaz.
What you got for
us? Champ, shut up, Diaz.
Everyone, now can I tell all the loyal listeners really where that came from? Besides the fact that that is what we say here on the show. Way back when we were doing Green Legion football, and we were getting jerseys made. You know, to go out and play some sport and social, drink some beers, have some fun on the weekends. And we were actually fairly competitive too. Everyone's putting their nicknames on the back of the jerseys, and I'm like, what's my nickname? I'm like, I don't have a nickname. And then I'm thinking to myself, what does everyone call me? And I said, shut up, Diaz. So that one's on the back of the shirt, and the name fits.
And what about, you sure it wasn't the beef?
Right?
Jerry Mathers nice as the beaver.
They're prescribing tequila. That's awesome. Is it Dan Fink? Oh, my God, going to die. They're prescribing tequila. All right, Diaz, Hollis.
Yes.
Let's have an interesting and fun segment here before we go back into Philadelphia receiver history and how positively stagnant that has been.
Yeah, because it's a couple of – when we get to the part where you're naming them, it's a couple of quality things that you should know about the – let's see. the front office and their, I guess they could be divas themselves and an unwillingness to listen to somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing.
Well, I'm not even going to blame the front office.
No, rest his soul, because it's one guy that particularly that who? Always, Tom Modrak. Was a great evaluator.
Okay, talent, but he still didn't hit on a receiver.
That's because they didn't let him hit on a receiver.
Well, whatever.
When I tell you,
whatever
wanted,
it is.
Okay.
All right, whatever it is.
Right.
All right. Fact is, we haven't hit on a receiver.
No, we haven't.
Fact. All right. So let's go over a survey.
Douglas.
This is done by Bleacher Report.
Okay.
Top 10 biggest diva receivers of all time. Now, before all of you start sending in, we already know.
We already know the bitches you guys
have sent in. The number one idiot is Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Diaz, you go first. Hollis, after you. Mm-hmm. All right, Diaz, pick a receiver.
I'm going to go with the equally diva, Chad Ochocinco Johnson.
All right, you ready for that? Okay. On Bleacher Report's list, Chad Ochocinco, number three. Mm. All right, so we got one and three covered.
Mm. Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown did not make this list, probably because he's still playing.
No, he's not still playing.
Well,
nobody's picking him up. Nobody's going to touch that.
Okay, well.
He's 33. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Antonio Brown did not make the list.
Okay.
You
already picked somebody else?
No, somebody else.
Let me see. Who's been the biggest?
Think about it. This is more historic. Not, I would say the last 20 years.
Last 20 years? Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson. Excellent. Damn. Number two.
And you know the only reason. I'm going to give you.
Didn't he win a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers?
Yeah. But
okay, there's one.
There's one, but it wasn't because of him.
It was because of Chucky?
It was because of his defense. The funny part about that is, you know the year when he went over to the Super Bowl, he had over 100 receptions with one touchdown. And do you know that?
Was that it?
Do you know that Shannon Sharp was over there, and he ridiculed him the entire time.
Nice.
About because he was trying to be a diva, and he ridiculed him the entire time. He's like, how the hell do you come up with all those receptions and one damn touchdown?
Right.
One freaking touchdown. That's how he talks, because he don't like to – Shannon doesn't cuss. One freaking touchdown.
All right. Hold on. All right. Back to you, Diaz.
What up, VP?
I don't know if this. I mean, he's definitely going to be on the list. I think it's not. He definitely has an attitude. I don't know if it's diva, but Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, number four. You guys got number four, three, two, and one.
And you ready for me again?
Yep.
Chris Carter.
Chris Carter did not make this
list. Make the list?
Nope.
Oh, I catch touchdowns.
I never would have thought Chris Carter was a
diva. I played against him. Trust me.
Really?
Yeah. Played against him three times, actually. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, you want to take another shot?
Take another shot. Let me see. Who else has been a diva? Just a straight-up bitch. Somebody.
We're allowed to say bitch on the air, by the way, Diaz. When we go on FM, we're good with that one.
Bitch and ass, yeah. But it's just the context in which you use it. I'm trying to think of another one who was just like the jerk of all jerks.
All right, you're in a timeout.
Yeah, give me a timeout. Yeah.
I'm drawing blanks here too. I didn't know we were going to be doing on the list, but is this? I know he had some issues with Parcells. Would we say Terry Glenn?
No.
I'm gonna go with Dante Stallworth.
Dante Stallworth. No, I can go through this with you.
Joe Horn.
You got to stop just throwing out names. No.
Well, I played with him and he was a diva.
Okay. Well, they're all receivers are divas. We know this.
Don't hit me, sucker!
All right.
Now I'm reminiscing.
You guys did well. You hit the first four and the top four with what you said. Number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Despite his recent diagnosis with BPD, borderline personality disorder.
Okay.
Brandon Marshall.
You're correct.
We're gonna hit that.
Yeah.
All right. Number 9. Interesting. Kind of Napoleonic syndrome.
Uh-huh.
You want to say it?
I was gonna ask a question after you posted number 9.
Go ahead.
A quick question was, somebody wanted to know if they could say Deion Sanders because he was both.
No.
Because he, but the, I did hear the fight between him and Troy.
Hold on a second.
Troy to
hold on.
Bow down.
Hold on. Ready?
Bow down.
Hold on. Ready?
Bow down.
Hold on. Ready?
Go ahead.
No. Okay. Napoleonic complex.
Who's that?
Who's the short receiver that was really good?
Steve Smith.
Yeah, Steve Smith, baby.
He would have done
it.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Actually, I've always liked Steve Smith. I think he's more of a fucker than anything.
Yeah, he's an under the skin type guy.
But I agree. And we'll take the hit. He's a great commenter, too.
Yeah.
So, back to Philadelphia Eagles history.
Oh, God.
Number 8. Say it. We already know.
T.O.?
No. We already had T.O. This is number 8.
Deshaun.
Deshaun makes it as the number 8 biggest diva receiver in football history.
Oh, that's a good one, Daniel.
Give me a break. I'm getting
some quality ones here, but
nah, there were a lot of issues with him on his way out, man.
On his way. Well,
now we're happy to have him come back. Unfortunately, he was here for 1.5 games.
Yeah, and it's the things that happened while he was here that nobody knows about are also diva-esque.
Well, we'll get into that in just a little bit. Oh, hold on. You want to give us a story?
I'm not at liberty.
I got you.
I don't want to mess up my
Chris Sack. Actually, Diaz played defense. He couldn't catch the ball at all. So.
Is that true, Diaz?
Yeah.
You know what they
say? No, that's not true at all.
You know what they say? They say all cornerbacks are just really, really fast receivers. They can't catch
the ball.
That's right.
All right. Ready for this? I kind of disagree with this one.
Let's see.
He was a dirty bird.
A dirty bird?
He was a dirty bird.
Are you talking about Mathis? Rise, Andre Bad Moon Rising.
Bad Moon Rising.
But he's got a title though. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, listen. Listen. If your house gets burned down by a pop star, you're a diva.
Andre Bad Moon Rising.
You gotta give it to him.
Well, everybody, and we get to number 6, and I'll give it to everybody else.
What's that?
Who's been chiming in on our Facebook live feed, who also won a Super Bowl.
Who's that?
Plaxico Burress.
Yeah. Is how high is Dez Bryant?
Dez Bryant doesn't even make this list.
Damn!
Right?
Damn. Oh, my God.
Right?
You talk about ruining an entire game.
ruining an entire life.
Yeah.
Is he even playing?
No, the Cowgirls are talking about bringing him back.
Did he play last year?
Last year he signed with the
Saints.
No,
he hasn't played the last 2 years.
No, he signed with the Saints last year, but he
failed a physical.
No, he tore his Achilles tendon in one of their practices.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, then you're toast after that.
Yeah.
Pretty toast. Yeah, pretty toast.
Diaz, Sean Henderson. Diaz may not be able to catch the ball, but even with a bad knee, he would outrun Chris Sack because he is fat.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Wow. Hey, just,
way to go,
wow,
Sean.
Here.
They're pulling out the double barrels there.
Yep. Did you hear that? That was
Sack is gonna have
man down.
Man down.
Diaz is in distress.
And number 5 on this list actually goes back to Hollis and I having a little bit of an argument earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
Although
definitely.
Hollis actually disagrees with that. Hollis said he was a bitch, but he wasn't a diva.
Yeah,
he didn't mind when Emmitt Smith got the ball.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he knew. It's like it's the difference between somebody who's a diva, but he's a team player because he knows that if they don't run the ball, he's not going to be open as he is. He's not going to get the ball like he gets it. So it's like the guys that I'm talking about are the motherfuckers that, excuse the language, are the motherfuckers that do not
DS.
Want.
I warned Hollis about the language stuff earlier. I heard it.
And Hollis, you're making a great point there from a player's perspective, but from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, with the fur coats and the diamond earrings,
exactly.
And the cocaine and the hookers and the White House.
Oh,
I mean,
hell yeah.
Wait. Hold on. What is wrong with any of this stuff?
the weird thing was the weirdest thing in the world is after my second year of playing the Dallas Cowboys up here. Guess who met me at our watering hole in the limousine?
Who?
You remember Eric Williams?
Oh God!
Because he's from here.
Yo,
Eric
hey.
Williams, he's from here.
We can come over to my place. There's plenty of room in my limousine.
But now that was the funniest thing ever. Like him.
Okay, so
yeah,
who was the biggest bitch when it came to I need the ball?
You got it. Keyshawn, he wrote a book. Throw me the damn ball. Throw me the damn ball.
Yeah,
that was
throw me the damn
book.
Ball, yeah.
So this was him.
You crying, boy? You crying, boy? Maybe go back down to McDonald's and get you a hamburger and some french fries. How about a Wineken? You little sissy boy. Def Leppard sucks.
Now, see, the thing is, when we talk about this diva thing, it's like you kind of got to have two lists.
Chris Sack, Sean Henderson is talking about fat. That's funny.
So apparently Sean Henderson is a little chubby.
Yeah, well, hey, wait, hold on a second. I was chubby to begin with. I am chubby-er at this point.
I'm fat. I don't care. I will destroy you verbally and physically.
And physically.
Yes.
<That's> all right. Don't get in the way of the H train, baby.
Yeah, you know, it's like I will run you over. Don't let this move taste fool you.
Diaz.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add? We're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring in Sackmaster.
I do. We're talking about receivers, and everyone has their like that emoji of the kind of thinking up in the air with what Howie Roseman's doing right now.
Right.
And man, it sucks. They're going to have to rely on this rookie wide receiver. Now we know it's different than it was 10 years ago where rookie receivers can definitely help and contribute. Mm-hmm. But God forbid, man, this rookie, whoever he is, they get in the first round. And everyone loves him, and he's selling out jerseys. And if he drops the ball week one, oh my God! I'm going to be just happy that we're the football is back and sports are back, and we can all have fun together and all that. But
no, I just had a quick thing.
Hollis
for you.
Has something for you.
Just a quick thing for you. A quick sidebar here. So if we get I think it's a good thing that we get this. If we get this rookie receiver, he's got a couple of guys in there that could take the pressure off of him, but then teach him how to be a pro. And we haven't been able to afford
that.
Hold on.
Ready? Ready for this? All right. This is crazy.
Right.
This is the fun and crazy part. Okay. Talking about our receiver corps.
Right.
Everybody wanted to get rid of who?
Alshon?
No.
Deshaun?
Aguilar. All right. Aguilar's gone.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted who to get an opportunity?
Greg Ward.
Greg Ward.
Yep.
Now,
I would still want him to get an opportunity.
Now, preseason last year, training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Carson threw another bomb to Deshaun. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay. And Alshon Jeffrey. Right now, the imperfect receiver core for this team is Alshon Jeffrey, Deshaun Jackson, and Greg Ward.
Correct.
Now, when you take a step back, for a moment, you go, that's not terrible.
Not terrible, no.
Not terrible.
Well, you're talking in theory. Alshon has Lisfranc Frank injury. He's not even going to be – he's going to start on the pup list. So he's out. He's like, don't depend on him.
I don't know.
And a 33-year-old Deshaun Jackson.
I don't know.
A 33-year-old Deshaun Jackson who can't stay healthy.
Hey, hold on a second.
Trust
we
me,
said Deshaun Jackson wasn't going to make it 3 years in the league with his size.
Exactly.
What year is he in? 13.
Yeah.
And he missed the entire year last year.
Because he missed the entire year, yeah.
And with of those injuries that is a plaguer.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about a fucking sports hernia.
No, it's no in between. Sometimes guys feel like they're letting the team down by going in and taking the surgery, but I think you hurt yourself just a little bit more just by trying to be available for the squad. And I think that was one of those situations where
we found that out.
Yeah, he's never been. And the thing too,
you have not said anything more true.
Yeah, it's like the thing that I do commend him for. He's never been under the knife, and that's you've never been under the knife. That's a scary thing. It's like one of those things where it's like you've never been under the knife, so it's like, okay, my first operation, you're going to go through my loins and fix me.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Hold on a second. I actually have a clip for that.
Hey, how about?
You can't rely on those.
How about
guys?
No?
Can't rely on those two guys. I mean, I think Alshon will be cut.
I don't think anybody has heard this.
Yes.
Hey, can I cut your balls?
Yes.
Can I go through your loins to fix you?
Yes.
Oh God, no. God.
Can I have more doctors play with my undercarriage?
Yes.
I don't know.
Man.
I don't know. Hey, Diaz, we're going to take a quick break here, man. Appreciate you calling in, brother.
Cool, man. See you guys soon.
Hey, speaking of injuries, how are you doing? I'm sure everybody wants to know.
Yeah, how's your leg going?
five-week surgery today. I go back next week, and we downgrade to Hotley Hollis. What's the name of those knee braces with the dial, the click dial? You know what I'm saying?
The immobilizer?
Yeah, well, I'm in an immobilizer now.
You're in the immobilizer. Immobilizer, they can set it to different angles so you can bring your leg to.
That's what I'm going to be doing next year. So hopefully I'll be driving and be in studio whenever we lift this shutdown. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. We can't wait to get you back, brother.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right, DS.
What up, Brian? Somebody just let me know that that D-Jack in 12 years, he has 155 games under his belt.
In 12 years?
Yeah.
155. That's pretty goddamn good.
I know.
That's huge.
It's huge, yeah.
That's huge.
Only 5 of 12 seasons he had a thousand plus. He had 5 of 12 seasons he had 1,000+ yards.
Wow, that's crazy.
What up, Ray?
All right, and just so you know, Mike Moyer, Chuck Norris' favorite sex move is the 3-finger shoe walker.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds awesome.
I don't know either. You guys, we're gonna take a quick break. Everybody that's watching us on video, stay around. This is a little bit longer song, about 6 minutes, but we'll be back right after this.
To fly a rocket ship, you need to be an optimist.
shoulder out. You wiggle it up, you wiggle it down. Got speed to move and get that rubber band off the ground. He lifted it well high at the sky, y'all. And then he so much rhythm, grace, and heaven have of one man, y'all. And then he had another click of his left toe, but through his knee, got the feeling in his head, y'all. Oh, come on, baby. Hey, y'all, won't you cry yourself, man, and hear it? Never heard a sound. Oh, he's a man, and he likes to jam. Man starts to jam.
Everybody, get tagged. Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio. Yes. And don't forget about our biggest sponsor, Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. Sean McGranahan running the show down there. Our boy Roger helping us out with everything internally. And, of course, Pete, our man, period.
Period, point blank. Awesome sauce.
And don't forget about our newest and best friends, 102.5, The Gambler.
The Gambler, yeah.
102.5, The Gambler.
Say it like you mean it.
102.5, The Gambler.
That's what I'm talking about.
And everything just got really creepy
slightly,
on the show.
Just slightly.
Yeah, it's okay. All right, so topic of conversation tonight, and we got our last segment here. We might go to one more break and come back and get off our chest.
Okay.
But this is the Diva episode, everybody.
Yes.
The fact that the Philadelphia Eagles have not been able to hit on a wide receiver through free agency or the draft in forever. And I am going to prove that to you right now. I'm going to prove that to you because I did my research.
You did?
Oh, God, I did.
What up, Rob?
All right, you ready for this?
Howard.
This is crazy.
Give it to me because you know what? While you're searching for it, I guess I'll monologue a little bit like an evil villain. when you first presented this to me, I was all witty because I as I told you, it's been all week I've been on social media arguing this point back and forth with people, and then I just realized in listening to Howie Roseman's comments, and they tried to make out a big thing about the thing meshing with Carson. And it is a big thing when it's your franchise quarterback.
I don't care.
But it's your franchise quarterback for the next 6 to 10 years. And it's like this is the thing. You at least you want somebody to mesh with them. You don't want to waste you don't want to waste money, do you?
Matt Kelly. Well, Matt Amazing Kelly. How much research you get done with all this time. All right.
I know, good thing.
Here we go. Ready? This is crazy. All right. Hollis and I, Tank and I, Tank and Q.
Yeah.
The QT program.
Exactly.
The cutie program.
Correct.
All right. Philadelphia Eagles have not been able to hit on a wide receiver in the draft or free agency in for
ever.
God dang ever.
I think I'm going to tell you the best one only is Urban Fryer's hit.
You're not. Shut up. You're stealing my thunder here.
Oh,
man. I have
almost
30 years of draft picks that I researched.
Okay. I'm going to put this.
All right.
I'm going to talk to my people.
You ready for this? This is crazy.
Okay, give it to me.
Can we both agree, Hollis, you and I, Mike Quick is the last one to hit on?
Yeah, on the draft, yes.
On the draft.
Yes.
Or in free agency.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, really, because, you know, we brought in receivers like T.O.
Correct.
And Alshon.
Right.
And we brought, you know, and I don't want to say Alshon and T.O.
Right.
in those, you know, like,
in that sense. Yeah.
But
right.
we brought in the guys that we thought we needed to get over the hump.
Right.
Now, whether or not you want to believe it, Alshon got us over the hump.
Exactly.
Got us over the hump. And he was one goddamn catch away
from possibly getting
us over the hump twice.
Exactly. That,
which
they,
is crazy.
I know, that would have been epic.
Epic.
Yes.
You have no idea how much I wanted to win down in New Orleans.
Who are you telling? Dude, I was down there with you the first time.
I know. Okay, so ready for this?
Yes.
Here we go. I am going to give you every Philadelphia Eagle wide receiver draft pick since 1992. And Mike Quick. This is where it gets crazy. We won't talk about Tony Woodruff or Ron Ingram in the 1982 draft as well. All right. 1983, wide receiver Glenn Young. Do you know the name?
Oh, God. Did he get cut?
He cut. All right. Third round pick, waste. Victor Otis in the sixth. Don't even know the name. All right. Number one in the 1984 draft, Kenny Jackson.
Oh, my. He sucked. He totally blew chunks.
And where did he come out of? What college?
Penn State.
Right?
Like kick-ass Freddie Scott?
right? All right. 1984 doesn't really count because that was the supplemental draft for USFL and CFL players.
Right.
1985. Not a single wide receiver drafted.
Wow.
All right. Here we go. We're going down memory lane. I might even tell you the tight ends, okay, that were pulled. All right, 1986.
Well, hold on. Tell us the tight ends also because we always hit on tight ends.
I got you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Cornelius Reddick.
I'm trying to be.
No, go ahead. I know. Chris Sack, call in. Sorry, man. Not paying attention. All right. All right. Here we go. 1987.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Who?
Nobody.
It was a god-awful, wasn't it?
It was a god-awful time.
Exactly.
But then we started pulling out.
Okay.
1988.
Pulling out, really? Who does that? You have a call there.
That's our brother Sackmaster on Skype. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good, man. I love it when you say that 102.5 The Gambler. It sounds like Mark Wahlberg saying 103.6 The Fandom.
But Chris Sacks, say it like you mean it.
Yeah, say it like you mean it.
Say it like
All
you
right,
mean it.
Here we go. Chris, just assume part of the conversation here because we're not stopping. So 1988, all right, first round pick, 13th overall, out of Oklahoma, tight end Keith Jackson.
Awesome sauce.
Okay, fantastic. But what happened?
Yeah.
Couldn't keep him. All right. In the seventh round, wide receiver Todd White.
Hey, it was one. Which one of the drafts did we get Spags?
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Spags?
It was in the '80s, right?
Long ago.
Okay.
All right. 1989.
I just know him.
This is interesting.
Okay.
All right, because there's only four picks.
Right.
But none of them are receiver. Second round pick, I don't know what we did in 1989 and what we gave up because we only had four picks. Jesse Small.
Oh, God.
Jesse Small and then two linebackers. Well, another linebacker, Britt Hager.
Who?
Britt Hager.
No, that was.
And another and two running backs, Robert Drummond and Heath Sherman.
Well, you know, he's Sherman. The Robert Drummond guy, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. 1990. All right. they realized they had to go receiver. Ugh.
Oh, God.
You ready for this? They took,
here we go.
They took Mike Bellamy over Fred Barnett.
Wow.
And, all right, Mike Bellamy was second round pick.
Right.
Freddie Barnett was a third round pick, 77th overall, pick number 24 in the third round. Mm-hmm. Who did they take in the fifth round? Didn't turn out to be a bad pick, but certainly not a franchise receiver.
Pick, right.
Calvin Williams.
Woo.
And then in the 11th round, which, you know, we're talking 1990. Uh-huh. All right, Tyrone Watson. Which
Who the hell is that?
Yeah, nobody.
But
knows.
See, that's what you're noticing is, we get some of the picks that we get that end up being good. We end up letting them go.
Well, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're saying.
We're developing and letting them go.
No, you know, I want a receiver that's going to be here for 8 years.
Exactly.
A stud that's going to be here is going to be a cornerstone of your franchise. And which means it's a franchise receiver.
Exactly.
And when you're throwing the ball as much as you are.
Excuse me, yes.
And you're not obviously paying attention to the running back position, because right now your number one running back is who? Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders, yes.
That's it.
And he also doubles
as
a receiver.
One of the best running backs in the league go
in
Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I have a theory in that, too. I'll tell you that later.
We'll get there. All right. 1991. Back in 1990,
No,
sorry.
No, let it go.
It wasn't it.
Let it go.
Not a single receiver taken.
No, it probably wasn't.
All right. 92. Sixth round, Jeff Snyder.
Who?
I don't know. Sounds like a white guy. Obviously not going to work.
Yeah, it was not going to work.
1993, second round, 50th pick overall, Victor Bailey.
He went somewhere else and did good.
Of course he did.
He stayed here until his fourth year. And
I
think he ended up in Indianapolis doing pretty good.
All right. Again, no tight ends.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joey Mickey in the seventh round.
Yeah.
All right. 94, nothing. 95.
Okay, you're getting close to my era.
Here it is. All right.
Me too.
Your boy, third round pick, 78th overall, Chris T. Jones.
Injury marred.
And
you know,
I thought he was great. One of the best playoff games in Eagles history.
Yep.
Detroit Lions, Philadelphia Eagles. Chris T. Jones had two touchdowns.
Yep.
497,000 fucking yards.
The weird thing about that is, this is where that thing where the thing with the doctors comes into play.
And his number was 82, by the
way. Yeah, 82. He acts quick to wear that.
You're welcome.
And the thing was, I ended up playing with him, and he was like one of those guys who you thought was because he had the work ethic and everything, but
we had big expectations.
Yeah,
but you
couple that with the bullcrap surgery. I was also privy to some bullcrap surgery because I got my foot fixed, but they put a 100-pound screw in there, and I'm not 100 pounds by any stretch of the mean. It was one of those things where I felt sad, bad for him because he wanted to play, and he wanted to play, and he wanted to prove that he belonged.
Hey, just so you know, that draft was not a bust.
No, it wasn't.
Even though.
B to the T.
Even though.
And C to the G.
Even though the first round pick was wasted on Mike fucking Mamula.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Mamma Lamma. That's what my dog's
name. Yeah, actually, one of the better drafts. I mean, Mamula had a lot of hurries.
Yeah.
But we did give up on Warren Sapp. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Did I lose Sack?
You probably lost Sack. You probably hung up on him.
Did I hang up on you?
What's up, Tamika?
Yeah, I think so. I was listening to tell the story, and then
Sorry. All right, well, we're talking about the 1995 draft right now. Chris T. Jones was drafted.
Yeah.
It wasn't a total bust, even though we took Mike Mamula over Warren Sapp.
Yeah. Hey, actually, Charles, right. Charles is giving you the vomit sign.
Yeah.
The green face in the vomit. Okay, Charles.
I agree with him.
What up, Dale?
But
I'm doing my
like you like
right.
Like Hollis just said, best pick out of that draft, number two. Second round, 50th overall.
It was two out of that draft.
Bobby Taylor,
BT,
baby.
And Charlie was in that same draft.
Charlie who?
Charlie Garner.
Charlie Garner was not in that draft.
What draft was he in?
I think he's the next year.
No, because I was the next year.
Hold on.
C to the G.
Sorry, Charlie Garner was the year before.
Was the year before, 94?
94, yeah.
Okay, yes, okay.
Love Charlie Garner. Anyway, wide receiver, Chris T. Jones.
Yeah.
Right. 1996.
Dear Lord.
Tight end, Tony Johnson.
He totally blew chunks. He got cut.
In the second round.
Uh-huh.
54th pick overall, Jason Dunn.
The diva.
Bigger diva than any receiver.
It's a 6'5", 287-pound debutante out of Western Kentucky. Jason Dunn.
I'm sorry, Eastern Kentucky, but Western. You were close.
No, it was Western Kentucky.
It was Eastern.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was Western. With the ring?
100%.
Okay.
Eastern Kentucky. But the fact that you even know that is hysterical.
That was the draft I came out of.
All right, we're not done.
Okay.
Okay? We're only on 1997. All right, we're getting there.
We're up there, and we're up there again.
Round number six, 190th pick overall, Antoine Wyatt.
Dear Lord.
Do you remember that dude?
Yeah, he sucked.
I'm bringing this up because a guy who's been at a few of our tailgates, good friend with our friend of the program, Damian Kalpokas, in the fifth round, 155th overall, Luther Broughton at Titan.
Yeah, Luther
was picked.
Okay,
not a bad player, but
Luther was the next year, wasn't it?
No, 1997.
96 was my draft.
96 was your draft.
Yeah, go back to 96. You missed one.
Oh, Philip I'm Riley. Sorry.
You missed Philip Riley in 96.
Philip Bradley.
Philip Riley.
Philip Riley.
Out of Florida State.
There was nobody drafted by the name of Philip Riley in 1996.
It was.
First pick was Jermaine Mayberry.
Right. Okay. Well, Philip Riley may have been an undrafted free agent.
Now, understand, we said Jason Dunn, but also in the second round, seven picks later, the greatest Eagle to ever wear.
Weapon X.
Weapon X, Brian Dawkins.
Yes.
In the third round, Bobby Hoying.
A travesty.
Mm-hmm. And Tony Johnson out of Alabama.
Tony Johnson totally blew chunks.
Yeah. 97, remember? Wingspan, defensive end. Out of Virginia, Harris.
Good God, man.
However, in the third round, all right, Deuce Staley.
The Deuce.
Out of South Carolina.
Yes.
Deuce. The guy who was crying when he left?
Who that?
Defensive end out of Rice.
Oh, no. The
N.D. Kalu.
No, the coach was crying.
I know. I know.
The coach was crying, yeah.
All right, 98.
You know his name? He's Thunder God.
98 might have been our best overall hitting on a draft with only eight picks.
What we got?
I'll give you the four that didn't work.
Okay.
All right. Seventh round, Chris Atkins, defensive tackle, and Melvin Thomas, guard.
Yeah, they were both injured when they got there.
Fourth round, Brandon Whiting, who did play a little bit.
Yeah, he played a long time. He's one of the smartest men ever. He still writes book reviews out of Cal Poly.
Okay.
He lives in the area.
Yeah,
still.
California.
Yeah.
And Clarence Love, who had no
C-Love.
Who had no room at safety after Doc.
Well, no, he was a cornerback.
He's got a great name.
He was a cornerback.
He was a safety coming out.
But he played cornerback.
Cornerback.
Yeah, because he ended up winning the title with Baltimore.
Now, here are the other four picks that hit. All right, third round, Allen Rossum.
Yeah, good.
Who,
great returner. Decent corner.
Decent corner. Ike Reese.
Yeah. Ike.
Our man, Ike.
Yeah.
Played D-line at 217 pounds.
First round pick, 11th overall, offensive tackle, out of Florida State, Trey Thomas.
Straight to the T. Oh, today, happy birthday, Trey. Today is Trey's birthday.
Happy birthday, Trey T.
And he almost got fired on his birthday. He got fired yesterday.
Really?
I didn't want to bring that up.
It's all right. We got room for him.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't want to bring that up.
Love Trey.
That's my guy. Just happy birthday to my guy.
And crazy enough, 1998, third-round draft pick, 85th overall. Third-round draft pick, 72nd overall.
You got an axe.
Jeremiah Trotter.
The last middle linebacker known to man.
Such a beast.
Now, here we go. This is interesting. In 1999, and you remember this is Donovan's year. We don't have to go through that. All right. Donovan goes first. Uh-huh. All right. Linebacker, Barry Gardner. Functional, wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough.
52, right? Number 52?
52, yep. And Joe Jerry Vicious is still running by him.
Yeah, we know.
Thank you.
But,
thank you.
But,
They did hit on two guards, offensive guards, in the third and fourth round, and Doug Brzezinski and John Wellborn.
Yes.
100%.
Dougie and will be.
But I get it. We're kind of pulling away from what we were doing here. We're just highlighting this as we go.
Yeah.
All right. There's been no wide receivers or tight ends drafted in the ones that I've just been talking about.
Correct.
Nothing.
Correct.
Right. Ready? Now we're back in 1999. Nay Brown.
Oh, God.
Nay Brown. I was waiting.
Nah.
Wide receiver out of North Carolina.
Nah.
Brown. Nay. It's no, nay.
Nah.
No, it's nay.
Nah, nay.
Hey, you going to catch anything today? Nay.
Nah.
All right.
It's Nay Brown.
Here we go. Not done yet. Out of East Carolina, sixth round, Troy Smith.
Awkward.
And even worse, tight end out of Oregon in the seventh round, Jed Cornfed Mule Weaver.
Jed the Dream Weaver. You know why he's the dream? Because as soon as he left here, he went and started playing for Miami and did well.
Yeah, of course. Here we go.
Hey, that's the jacked up part.
Just now that we're getting into the modern era, and that's the last 20 years, and we've got plenty to talk about here, we're going to keep going. We're going to take a break here once we get a few more draft picks in. 2000, number one draft pick, sixth overall. You can't argue this pick, even though he's your position.
Yeah, it's my guy.
Corey Simon.
Yeah, the chubby guy.
All right.
Child-bearing hips.
Corey Simon hit child-bearing hips. Corey Simon. There's no big pudding associated with this.
No big pudding, no.
All right, this guy had his own fucking zip code.
Yep. And orbit.
Peter, you have your own orbit. What do you mean? Watch. Nice. Perfect.
Now Brown.
Now, here we go. And this is an interesting interesting conversation.
Yeah.
At number two, second round pick, 36th overall.
Right.
Out of Southern Miss, wide receiver Todd Pinkston.
Wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't.
It wasn't tremendous.
It wasn't, you know, he caught passes.
Right.
There was a lot.
Yeah.
He wasn't a number one receiver.
He wasn't a number one receiver. We keep going.
Wasn't a number
two.
One.
Yeah.
Here's a waste.
Uh-huh.
Fourth round, 99th overall pick, wide receiver out of Michigan State, Gary Scott.
Yeah. You remember when I was talking about those medical mishaps?
Yeah.
He was one of those medical mishaps because they continued to tell him he had a high ankle sprain and he was just being a bitch. Turned out he had a spiral fracture.
Oh.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, Gary Scott, I have nothing bad to say about you.
That's my guy. And initially, I thought what you thought, but then when I found out his medical history and I found out that they misdiagnosed it, I was like, it's kind of their fault. Because you can't – a spiral fracture versus a high ankle sprain or a sprained ankle.
Yeah, 100%.
Stop being a bitch.
Yeah.
Really?
No. Yeah. Sorry. All right, 2001. It pains me every time to say his name. First round pick, 25th overall, out of UCLA.
Fred X.
receiver Freddie fucking Mitchell.
You remember when I was telling you about Tom Odrek and he was helping him with the draft? Guess who he wanted to take?
Who?
Steve Smith.
Of course. Wouldn't matter because we wouldn't have kept him.
This is true.
The only thing Freddie was good for was he introduced Chase Utley to his wife.
Chase Utley
and I introduced Chase Utley to 20 other girls that he banged out while he was still married.
Oh, this is awkward. You can't believe it.
Sorry. Everybody knows it. It's the unspoken truth.
I just work here. I'm just saying.
Well, he didn't need you
actually,
for me. Pat Burrell.
Actually, interesting 2001 draft.
What's that?
Besides Tony Stewart, tight end out of Penn State, being picked. The rest of the draft wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
No. Second round, 55th overall, Quentin Caver.
Yeah.
All right.
No, he sucked. He sucked really bad.
Okay. Fourth round, Carell Buckhalter.
Buckhalter!
All right.
He's currently in trouble for some stuff.
Fifth round, 155th overall, my man A.J. Feely.
A.J. Touchy Feely.
All right. And in the third round, 63rd overall, Derek Burgess.
DB. Yeah.
Oh, man, he's
a beast.
Now, not one draft will ever compare to the Eagles' 2002 draft.
What's that?
Nope. Right.
Well.
What was it?
Hold on. I got to do it. I got it. Just.
Do it up, Clint.
Sack
the first pick.
Sack and Hollis. Keep talking.
Okay.
Right now. Because I got to do this.
He's got to do this.
I say this all the time, too, Hollis. This was the best draft they ever had.
Really? 100%.
I'm trying to think.
They got four studs out of the first three rounds.
Studs.
I mean, it was just unbelievable how they knocked it out of the park.
How many studs you thought they got out of my draft?
No.
They got one, baby. Just you.
Yeah, they got you.
But they also got Dawkins and Jermaine Mayberry.
I know. But you're the
undrafted. I'm actually going. This is the draft that got us to the Super Bowl.
Let me see.
So it also allowed us to continue to sustain because those two young corners that they drafted took over for Troy and Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't hear after that though.
Little missed the boat that day he left the shack.
You're hearing this, right, Zach?
Was all he missed. Absolutely.
He ain't coming back.
All right.
Wait a minute. They had three studs and we had three studs.
No.
We both had three studs.
Four came
out
of the two.
What's the fourth one?
Three studs and one very serviceable player.
Who's that?
Who had a nice career here until B. Doc left.
Okay. Who was that?
You had Lito Shepard, mm-hmm. Sheldon Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You had B. West in the third round, and Michael Lewis.
Oh yeah, you did. They outdo us. Because also, I would be remiss without being Quentin.
Now let's go back to where Quentin we were going with this.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles were smart enough in the fifth round to choose 162nd overall, Freddie Millins.
Freddie was great in college.
And actually, Raheem Brock was chosen in that draft.
You know what? You know what happened with Raheem? He came in and he saw all the defensive ends that was there, and he immediately asked, "Was it release?"
Of course.
He's like, "Why?" He's like, "Why'd y'all?"
Wasn't
draft
he at Temple?
Yeah, he was Temple. He said he's still back around in the area, but he went on to Indianapolis to win a Super Bowl and appear in another and about three or four Pro Bowls.
Now it's okay because in 2003,
uh-huh.
they made up for that bad wide receiver pick.
Oh God!
In the
oh God. I hated it. When they did this, I was like, what the fuck? Oh, sorry. I hated it, too. It was horrible.
Number 95th overall in the third round. Out of Virginia.
Virginia.
Billy McMullen.
Oh, God. So what year did they draft Reggie Brown?
Hold on, man. We're getting there.
I got to pee. I'm just sorry.
I know. Okay. You know what? We're going to take a break. But real quick.
I like Reggie Brown.
Stop it.
100% stop. Also in that draft, who introduced Eli Manning to the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Jerome fucking McDougal.
Only hit he made ever.
The only hit he ever made.
Yeah, it was a shot heard around the world.
And actually, you'll find out if we go back to the statistics for receivers for the Philadelphia Eagles. L.J. Smith ranks up there. And they took him tight end in the second round out of Rutgers, 61st overall.
I ran him down on a tight end screen. Shut up.
Did you really?
Yeah, we was playing. He got mad because he said, I just got ran down by a D-tackle. I said, no, a nose guard.
Hey, Chris, do us a favor.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're gonna play one song. Hollis has to piss. We have to both do shots. Everybody on Facebook Live, don't go anywhere because this is – this is going to be a fun rest of this because now we're in the modern era. We're in the last 17 years of draft picks for the Philadelphia Eagles. Chris, stay on the phone if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
All right, we got 3 minutes and 42 seconds with Boz Skaggs and my friend Lito. We'll be back on Get Tanked Happy Hour right after this.
Just long enough to grab a hand.
All right. We are back on our final segment of Green Legion Radio, the Get Tanked Happy Hour. All right, you guys, this is going to be fun because now we're getting into the modern era.
Right.
Chris Sack, you still with us, brother?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sack Master.
Okay. So, 2004 draft. All right. Again, we're literally talking about why the Eagles have not hit on a receiver in 30 years. 30 years.
Right.
82, 2002, 2012. Almost 40 fucking years. All right, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Mike Quick.
Quick!
Was drafted in the first round by the Philadelphia Eagles in 1982.
Damn.
There has not been a franchise receiver for this team since him. One that would at least have some tenure here, who has stayed here, who was a cornerstone of a championship run. Mm-hmm. Can you agree?
Well, yeah, what I was going to say is what I think what you're looking for is we have yet to have a guy who's been the cornerstone and a mainstay that somebody has to prepare for week in and week out. They had to prepare for Deshaun and Macklin, but if all you had to do was put somebody over the top of them because they had yet developed into the receivers they became later on.
I you know what? Thank you, Hollis. Yeah. And this is your football knowledge coming in. All right. Yeah, 100%. You know what I'm looking at?
What's that?
I'm looking at a guy, and maybe I'm 10 years collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for the guy who signed his rookie contract for 5 years, and then we re-signed after.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm looking for the guy who we signed for four, and he makes us picked up that option.
Absolutely.
And then during that option year, like Zach Ertz, what he was doing, his production, it forced us.
Well,
to
he continue. Was he was signed.
Well, no, but
you
he
know,
was,
Howie well, was smart. Right. Restructured his deal before he got valuable.
Yeah,
then restructured his deal before he became even more valuable.
But that's what you're looking for in a number one wide receiver.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Zach, what do you think?
I think this draft right here. I know they're sitting at 21. But if you have a feeling about one of those top three guys, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs, if you have a feel on one of those guys, you have to go up and get him. I don't care if it comes at the expense of next year's first-round pick. I don't give a shit about that. I'm looking at you need to give Alex his weapon for the next 10 years.
Alex Donahue. Wait, James Trash? Thrash?
Yeah, James.
And Todd Pinkston weren't a cornerstone? Come on.
You know, the funny thing that he says that because Jim Johnson, he gave James Thrash the name James Trash.
Yeah.
Because when he was at Boston.
Okay, so let's get through this because this is crazy interesting, all right? And I appreciate all you guys holding on with us. We're well
thank
above
you.
Our time limit.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so 2004 draft.
LJ.
All right, not a single wide receiver.
Nope.
Not a single tight end.
What up, Nick?
Sean Andrews was the first pick, by the way. Wow. Talk about mental instability.
Yeah, that was sad. Hey. We're here to talk about Stacey Andrews.
2005.
Okay.
First round pick, Mike Patterson. If he didn't have a heart murmur, probably would have played a lot more, right?
He still played long.
Did he?
Yeah, they fixed that. He still played a couple of years with the Giants.
All right. Well, guess what? Only one wide receiver taken in that draft.
Oh, my God.
Round number two, 35th overall.
Sweet sassafras, Reggie Brown.
Hollis has been waiting to talk about Reggie Brown all evening.
He reminded me of Beanie Man. Beanie Man is the girls, them sugar. Them girls, them world class lovers.
Sean Henderson, we appreciate you saying FR time limit. Yeah, we're going over right now.
Beanie Man and the girls, them sucking shim sugar. He got mad because he came in the locker room and I said I started singing this.
Now, here we go. This is interesting going to 2006. All right, first round. We're going to go through this just so you know who your first round picks are. And then we're going to go receivers and tight ends.
Yeah.
All right, first round pick, Broderick Bunkley, Florida State.
That's what got me traded.
Huh?
That's what got me traded.
Really?
Yep, as soon as they traded.
All right, Broderick Bunkley.
But the weird thing is they drafted Max Gene Giles instead of Jerry Evans.
Well, There's, I've got nothing.
I know, but see,
and,
but,
now
but
most see, people, remember, most people will not have any Eagley? Intimate connection yeah. with that.
Yeah.
All right. Jari Evans and yeah. I share a suite for Sixers games.
Yeah.
Six Pro Bowls.
Six.
Okay. With the New Orleans Saints. 1 year of Green Bay.
Yeah, 1 year Green Bay. Yeah.
Tail end of his career, just to pick up a little bit more cash.
No, he just he wanted to play because he thought he was going to win the ring. That's why he waited to have the training camp.
He
to
went
sign.
Gary Payton on everybody.
Well, he just waited to sign to the end of the training camp because that year he went to the Seahawks and they wanted him to wait. They wanted to cut him because if you're a veteran, people don't know this. This is a tidbit.
Damian Kalpokas, don't draft a receiver named Brown.
Brown doesn't go down.
No.
What I was going to tell you was.
Dan Fink, come on, man. You got to get optimistic at some point in time. 38 years. We got to get one.
We got to hit one. But that what I was going to tell you was a lot of people don't realize that if you're a veteran, a vested veteran, if you're on the opening day roster, your entire year's salary is guaranteed.
Nice.
But what some clubs do is the older guys, they'll release him until after the first game and try to bring him back.
Ah.
The Seahawks tried to do that to him. He was already at home.
Yeah.
But then the Green Bay brought him back.
I got you.
So, you know, there it is.
All right. So let's get through this because we're going to dick around and we could be here for three. Well, you know what? We don't have a time.
No, we don't have
a time. You know what? We don't have a time.
We don't have a time constraint.
So if you guys are being entertained and I can see, Laney, how the hell
Giuseppe,
are you?
Hold on. Giuseppe, what the hell is a buffalo tail? Giuseppe wants us to order from Roma's.
Isn't that a buffalo stance?
What's a buffalo tail?
No, Dana Cherry?
No, buffalo tail. It's he wants us to get some pizza and wings from Roma's.
All right, we're down.
We'll do it next time.
All right. 2006 draft, first round. Broderick Bunkley.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Two receivers taken in a row, fourth and fifth rounds. Overall, 109, 147.
Who were they?
Jason Avant out of Michigan, who had a fairly tenured career.
Yeah, I like him.
With the Eagles. He's been there.
Now, Merrill.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Now, Merrill always used to say, nobody goes over the middle like Jason Avant.
Yeah.
Well, Jason Avant was big.
Yeah.
He was fast.
Yeah.
And he had reliable hands.
And he goes over the middle. Yeah.
Right. After his rookie contract, he re-signed with the Eagles for three more years.
Right.
All right, which is one of the reasons why, ready for this?
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Why Jason Avant is 14th on the list in Eagles history with receptions. 14th.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Now, we both, all of us, all the three of us, and probably everybody watching, do not think of Jason Avant as a premier receiver.
Not as number one.
No, not at all.
I think he's a slider on number two.
But he's number 14 on the Eagles' all-time list for receptions as a receiver, which is why we're talking about this. It's sad.
Yeah.
It is sad. But anyway, we're going to keep going.
Continue.
We're going to keep going. All right, fifth round. All right. And it is only valuable now.
Right.
Because Jeremy Bloom out of Colorado was taken. And all we know now is that he has a hot sister who was a complete whore.
And he was a great skier. He's a great skier.
Nobody's seen that movie?
I've seen a bit of it. It's a smidgen.
Anyway, 2007. Tight end Brent Celek.
Good. Great.
That's it.
Nice.
I mean, you took Cobb in the second round.
Who was that? Which Cobb?
Kevin Cobb.
Out of Houston. The receiver?
That was your first pick. Kevin Cobb, quarterback.
He sucked.
Of course he did.
He
don't even know why we took him.
And then you gave him – he was the heir apparent, and then he got blasted. He got blasted by Miss Mann.
Well, here we go. We're going to keep going. 2008 draft. All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
What's up, Ray?
Who
would up?
2008.
Uh-huh.
All right, we don't have a first-round pick. 47th overall in the second round.
Okay.
Notre Dame defensive tackle Trevor Laws.
Oh, God. That was
horrible.
He sucked.
Horrible. However, two picks later, we do hit with DeSean Jackson.
Yep, D-Jack.
All right. So, arguably, DeSean Jackson is the last
I would consider you know,
just decent.
Yeah, decent receiver. I would consider him like a number like 1A because he takes
one,
the top,
one and a half.
Yeah, because he takes the top off defenses, and I think at, later in his career he just started to catch the underneath route
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're and, right. Yeah, so. You know what? His role as a receiver was not number one when right. he first came into the
yeah.
league.
He was a one trick pony.
Now that he's a little bit older, a right. little bit. Wiser.
Wiser, yeah.
But a little bit slower.
I don't think he's
but
slower.
Not too much.
He is. He's not slower than the
well,
DBs.
No, he's just smart.
He just comes
down. He's been in the league for 12 years.
Right. He's come down to pedestrians.
He's coming down.
Team.
Well, you know, it's taken that role from number one burner to possession receiver, but he can still be the burner.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've seen it.
Arguably
he's right, still the
that's
best.
That's the last.
Yeah, that's the last, yeah.
That's the last one.
He
second
added some
round.
Stuff, yeah.
Okay. Now we go to 2009, and obviously they still weren't happy with the offense. Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah.
First round pick out of Missouri,
19th yeah.
overall.
Yeah.
All right. In
well,
addition,
I mean, a lot of that had to do with because Stallworth was on a 1 year deal, what, in 2008?
Yeah.
And they
yeah,
had Kevin Curtis
yeah,
drop the ball
yeah.
on fourth down
yep.
in the
yeah,
NFC
the,
Championship game. So they
yeah.
needed another weapon.
Yes.
That a boy, Chris.
Way to go, Chris. Because I was about to say, because I remember playing.
Chris, you get two tickets to a Green Legion tailgate.
You get right. two tickets to an ant fighting contest out in the back with some honey.
With a thumb wrestle war.
Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war.
Here we go. Second round pick, 53rd overall, LeSean McCoy.
Shady, the shadiest one.
Tight end, fifth round in 2009. Mm-hmm. Cornelius Ingram.
Who the fuck is that?
Right?
Who in the hell left the gate open?
And in the sixth round, 194 overall, Brandon Gibson. Nothing.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna
now here's an interesting draft pick.
Okay.
Because we question leadership whenever Rexy's in the fucking room.
Correctamundo.
However, out of Michigan, defensive end, first round in the 2010 draft.
Ah, yeah.
Defensive end, Brandon Graham.
B to the G.
All right. I think he's the vocal leader in the locker room.
Yeah. You know what the weirdest thing is, too? He took – oh, go ahead.
Chris. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No, I was so mad when they made that pick. I was working McDonald's that night. It was a Thursday night. I was closing, and I was following the draft on my phone. And I'm sitting there and I look at the icon and it says the Eagles have traded up and I was like, We're gonna get Earl Thomas.
Right.
And then I see Brandon Graham pop up. Because Michigan that year had the worst rated defense in the country.
Right.
In the country. And we picked the guy from Michigan's defense. I was pissed because I wanted Earl Thomas.
Chris, you have no idea how many times Hollis looks over at me in conversation with football and goes, Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. You ready for this? You know who our tight end in the fourth round pick of the 2010 draft was?
Oh, dear Lord. Who was it?
Clay Harbor.
He totally sucks.
Ready for this? Fifth round pick out of Florida. Wide receiver, Mr. Racist, Riley fucking yeah. Cooper.
Man, I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to be the only black guy to say he was racist. I'm just saying.
Well, hey, man, I was in the tanning bed today. I'm getting there.
I know.
I'm not black yet. I got a few more. I got a few more sessions to go where my tattoos don't show up. But
you know what? The
Quimby's looking a little pale.
Oh man,
shut up, Zach.
He's actually got his tan going. He's got a little golden brown going on there.
All right, here we go. 2011 draft. We have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say it just because.
Oh, God. What happened?
First round pick, 23rd overall. First
Danny
responder, Danny Watkins.
What the fuck? What on God's green earth?
All right, ready?
Thinking?
You know how many receivers we took?
One or none?
None. You know how many tight ends?
Two?
None.
You know the weird thing about that draft? It's like when they took Danny Watkins, they start trying to explain why they took him.
And We all know it was a disaster.
And then like when they explained, I'm thinking to myself, well, it's kind of like me going to play Little League or Pop Warner, and then trying to go.
Now,
to-
here we go.
Okay.
2012 is an interesting draft.
Give it to me.
All right. Number one pick, 12th overall out of Mississippi State, Fletcher Cox.
Boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka.
Fletch.
46th overall, second round, out of California, UCal. Michael Kendricks. All right. Now I don't have to. I don't have to say. Well, no, Michael Kendricks.
He was decent, but
he was decent.
But it was like one of those Ferraris that you got.
Overall 59th, still in the second round, out of Marshall.
Okay.
We all know who wears the number for the amount of people that passed away.
Yes.
On the plane crash. My man Vinny Curry.
Vinny, Vin's the name.
All right. Now we got two decent players still with us.
Right. He was fragile.
Third round. 88th overall, quarterback out of Arizona, Mr. Super Bowl MVP.
Slick Nick the Ruler.
Slick Nick Foles. All right, now here we go. Brandon Boykin in the fourth round out of Georgia. Not much.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get Bryce Brown out of Kansas State, too, who was serviceable.
Serviceable, yeah.
Pretty good on special teams.
Yeah, it's pretty good on special teams.
So not a bad draft. Well, honestly, hold on a second. Let's revamp that statement.
Okay.
We got Nick Foles out of that draft.
Yep, we got
Super Bowl MVP.
It's a great draft. I don't know what the fuck you're
talking
about.
In all fairness, we don't win that Super Bowl without
Slick Nick the Ruler.
Nick Foles. Chris, you agree?
I agree. I mean, he was the best backup quarterback in the NFL. I mean,
come on, Dick Cheney.
I'll give him that.
Dick Cheney. Hold on.
He was the best quarterback in the league that year.
In 2013?
No.
Look, Dick Cheney, stop being a dick. The year he won Super Bowl.
Well, here's the deal, right? Nick Foles coming to the Eagles or drafted by the Eagles.
Right.
Okay? Has nothing to do with him re-signing as a backup.
Exactly.
Or does it?
It actually does.
It actually does.
And the thing
okay?
is, the thing,
so the fact that we drafted Nick Foles.
Yep.
All right. Let's be honest. 2012 is the draft that won us a Super Bowl. Because Nick Foles was ready to retire.
Uh-huh.
Family has plenty of money.
Right.
Restaurant business worth $50
million. 58.
Couldn't care less.
$58 million.
That too. Another eight. Okay? Couldn't care less. All right? But somebody from Philadelphia says, hey, we want you to come home.
Let's see, he went to our people in Kansas City.
Well, he went to Kansas City.
He went to the
and
Midwest.
And he obviously achieved a friendship with Peterson.
Yeah, yep. And Matt Nagy.
And there we go. And it comes
Peterson,
back.
So,
2012 draft is the reason we won a Super Bowl.
Abracadabra.
But we're moving on from
let's move on, the wide receiver. I don't feel like arguing with Chris Sack over Nick the Ruler.
2013.
Yeah, just let it be known, sucker.
All right, first round pick, Lane Johnson. This is Chip Kelly's first pick.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No problem with it.
No problem whatsoever.
Second round pick, Zach Ertz. Still have no problem.
Awesome sauce all over the place.
Yeah, that's it. Moving on. There's no drama.
There was
nothing else.
No other picks.
Ready, Benny Logan, Earl Wolfe. Joe Kruger, Jordan Poyer, David King.
Only one on that list.
Benny
Logan.
That's it.
Yeah.
And he was okay for a little bit.
He was serviceable, yeah.
All right. 2014.
What's up,
Station? First round pick, and this is the one that will haunt Howie Roseman for years.
Oh, my fucking God.
26th overall out of Louisville, Marcus Smith.
He was at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right.
But here we go, and this is what's going to haunt him, too, if you want to break it down. Second and third round picks, Jordan Matthews, Josh Huff. I was a fan of Jordan Matthews when he was drafted.
Yeah.
He's Jerry Rice's nephew.
Yeah.
I thought it came. He came from a pedigree.
Yeah.
And he just at Vanderbilt, he broke every goddamn record.
You know the thing about that whole ordeal was, I didn't think they should have traded him because that was the guy that had caught Carson's very first touchdown, and he rolled with the offense that we had. He wasn't a diva, but he was serviceable, and he caught. And then Josh Huff, he just couldn't stop speeding.
Josh Huff is terrible.
Well, he was good. He just couldn't stop speeding across the highway with loaded with marijuana. Well, he's a different animal.
Now,
Jordan Matthews. think Jordan Matthews has the most career receptions in the history of the SEC, too. I think he still holds that record as well.
Yep.
I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah, he was serviceable because he knew the system. It's like, but man, it's and I don't know. I guess you just had to let it go.
So 2015. All right. Yeah, we know. All right. 20th overall pick out of USC.
Thank you,
Chip Kelly. Nelson Aguilar. Here's interesting, right? Here's an interesting point. Second and third picks, second and third round, Eric Rowe and Jordan Hicks.
Mm.
I still am really high on Jordan Hicks.
I like Jordan Hicks.
He just can't stay healthy.
Exactly. That was the same thing with Michael Kendricks.
Halfway through the season last year.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Well, he got hurt, but he was.
He was a beast up until that point.
Pro Bowl candidate without question.
Yes, but there's always that bust.
And actually was breaking records for a middle linebacker.
In Arizona?
At Arizona. He was about to break tackle records in the NFL for how. If he would have continued the amount of tackles.
Hence the word if.
If. But, yeah.
He was good.
He couldn't stay healthy. Yeah. Anyway, 2016. Obviously, first round. Yeah, interesting stuff.
What was that?
Carson Wentz, Seumalo in the second round.
Yeah, you know, that was the round that, remember, they, I don't know if you remember, the
Hargroves. Tie in the fifth.
Hargroves.
It's a pretty good draft. Wendell Smallwood, have fun in Washington. Where is he now? Is he in Washington?
He's still in Washington, I think.
All right. 2017, wide receiver, Mac Hollins, out of North Carolina in the fourth round.
Still flossing.
God.
He was good for the Super Bowl year.
He didn't catch shit in the Super Bowl year.
Yeah, he did. He came in.
He had a touchdown. He had a deep bomb in the Redskins game on Monday Night Football. I think that was his
one
only touchdown he had.
No, he had one in the playoffs, but he did quality work on special teams. That was about it.
2017. Let's go through that. Derek Barnett. This is an interesting because there's still players around.
Yeah, there's still the jury still out.
2017. Derek Barnett. Obviously.
Yep.
Number two, second round, 43rd overall.
Sidney.
All right. third round, Rasul Douglas.
He might be
still
in a
trade. Still want to see him in a safety.
Yeah.
Mac Hollins, Donnell Pumphrey, who's playing a great, great season in the XFL.
That is up, yeah.
Shelton Gibson, another receiver.
Yeah.
My man crush in the fifth round late, Nate Gary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Nate Gary.
Hey, Gary, he's going to be
safety.
A starter.
Safety, yeah, he's going to be a starter.
Wait, safety? He's a linebacker.
No, he's a linebacker
jackass?
Now. He was a safety in college.
No, he wasn't?
He was drafted as a safety. He was a safety, and they knew they were going to convert him to linebacker.
You see
what I meant to say was, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, here we go. 2018, Goddard, Maddox, Sweat, Pryor, and Maialata. That's it. Five picks in 2018.
Yes, Joyce, he said man crush.
I do have a man crush on Nate Gary.
Oh, no, Nate Gary.
Sorry.
He's fantastic.
Whatever. Love that guy. He was engaging on our show. He was fun.
He was great. He was
and
fun,
he
yeah.
made a big interception the week after.
The week after, right after. So, a pick six, that is.
Oh, my God. It's so weird to see how many small amount of draft picks we've had.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Wait a second. All right, 2019, last year. Big Puddin.
Oh, God.
Second round pick, Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders, great.
Jury is still out.
Oh, Miles?
Yeah.
I love Miles, but it's the jury.
Jury is still out. He needed to catch one pass the entire season. He didn't.
Ah, damn. I like this.
Put a little bit of weight on.
I don't know about that. No, he needs to get ice in his veins, and I don't see that out of him yet.
Yeah, also, this is one other thing. I thought he got later in the season, but I hope he does get one foot in the ground and get some yardage upfield. You're not going to hit the home run every time. Get the first down.
Tries to
out.
Go around the edge
exactly.
too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is not college.
Anyway, second late round pick. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was on Green Legion Radio.
Yes.
Hoping for bigger things from him.
Yeah.
Sharif Miller didn't make much of a splash.
No, he didn't.
We thought Penn State, good thing. Mazel, mazel.
Yeah, mazel, mazel, good thing.
But here's the even worse. Here's the even worse pick in the 2019 draft.
They drafted him as a prospect, though.
Yeah.
Okay, great. But here's the worst.
Right.
Fifth round pick, 167th overall, quarterback Clayton Thorson.
Oh, God.
What the fuck are you even drafting that for?
A big time reach.
Squad, right?
Big time reach. I'm talking about a reach.
Overall, what we're talking about tonight is, Jesus Christ, we can't hit on a draft pick in the wide receiver position. We can't hit on free agency in the wide receiver position. It is the one spot that fails us. Ready? Here we go. Would you like statistics overall, Philadelphia Eagles, yards, receiving yards or receptions?
Receptions.
Receptions. Okay. Ready? Here we go. Starting at 15 because Jason Avant was number 14. Calvin Williams, Tommy McDonald, Deuce Daly, Wilbert Montgomery, Ben Hawkins, John Spagnuolo, Jordan Matthews.
Damn.
Is 21. Keith Jackson. Jordan Matthews has more receptions as a Philadelphia Eagle than Keith fucking Jackson.
I just work here.
All right. Timmy Brown. L.J. Smith, Chad Lewis, L.J. Smith has more receptions than Chad Lewis. And you know who has just one, receptions?
What's that?
Chad Lewis has four more receptions than Nelson fucking Aguilar.
It should be a tribute to Nelson Aguilar not being that good.
It's a tribute to our team not being able to pull a receiver. Because right below him, Irving Fryer, Charlie Smith, Harold Jackson, Charlie Young, Todd Pinkston, Reggie Brown, Clarence Peaks, Darren Sproles has been with the team and injured for 4 years.
Yep.
175 receptions.
He's a beast.
It is terrible. Riley Cooper, Alshon Jeffrey, James Trash. Alshon Jeffrey has one more reception than James Thrash. Who has one more reception than Herschel Walker. Who has two more receptions than Ricky fucking Waters.
For who? For what? Oh, sorry.
Greg Lewis.
G. Lou.
Greg Lewis is four down from Ricky Waters. This is not a receiver resume you want to have. It's terrible.
It's god-awful. If you look it up in the dictionary, god-awful is the best term to describe.
What was the name of the guy on the Toronto Blue Jays who hit the home run in 1993 to put the Phillies out?
Gary Carter?
Joe Carter is number 53 on the Eagles.
This is awkward.
Receptions list with 114.
Folks, as you can see, getting into the meat of our receiving core, or lack thereof, we've yet to have a quality receiving core. We had a lot of prospects. We've missed on a lot of picks. We're just hoping for some better things. Hoping for sometimes when we have to throw 40 times, we actually win some damn games. Carson Wentz should not be one in forever in games that he throws 40 plus times. When he has to throw, somebody should catch the damn ball.
Brent MC, my favorite midget little person,
what's up?
Flat out, best trade Chip Kelly ever made. All right. Got anything you want to get off your chest? Guys, we're going to get out of here. We have been on air for 2 hours.
You know what? I just wanted to – that the whole show was pretty much what I wanted to get off my chest, because I've been arguing with people back and forth, and this is my thing with them is what they're saying. I understand what they're saying, but I would rather build the team all the way around them.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Sean Henderson, I love you continuing to bring up the Mexican girls from Chicago. I do.
Jesus Thanks. Christ. Let it go.
No, don't let it go. I'm all right with that.
You're all right. You're okay.
Not you. Sean needs to let it go.
No, it's all right. It's his resume to me, and it's reminding me always that although one can throw up in the cab, when you get back to your place, two can still work. Sorry.
You.
Hollis.
No worries.
Hold on, mic drop. Boom.
There's no worries. It's just that was my main thing because I've been arguing with people back and forth, and they steady talk about throw this and throw that. I've even been arguing with our counterpart, Dave Spuzz, Dave Spadaro. It's like he continues to talk about the passing is the way of the league. I have to tell people when the dust settles, you have to run the ball and stop the run.
What's the most important stat?
The W, win.
No.
No, it is. The win.
No. Well, obviously.
The win is obviously.
Besides W or L, what is the most important stat?
Time of possession.
In time of possession. Thank you.
And it's actually 1A and
1B. And the only way you win time of possession?
Running the ball.
Run the ball.
And it's 1A and 1B is that you have to win the turnover war. Because if you don't win the turnover war.
At the end of the day, if you have the ball 7 more minutes
than
your opposition,
yeah,
regardless of turnovers,
yeah,
you're probably going to win.
More than likely, yes. But the only way you're going to win time of possession is running the ball down their throat.
I'm saying that. I'm agreeing with you.
Showing who's boss.
I'm agreeing with you.
I win because I'm a man.
I win because I'm a man. Anybody else? I've been getting this off my chest all day.
Yeah, this is the main thing. This is a get it off your chest type show.
Chris.
Because we came in like this. So go ahead, Chris. Tell us what you got to say.
Got anything to get off your chest, baby?
I kind of already got it off my chest when I said we have to do whatever we have to do to get the guy in the first round that we need to get for Carson. We need to get him the best toy possible. I don't care what it takes. You need to go and get that man.
You know who wasn't that guy?
Who's that?
DK Metcalf.
Damn!
Well, that's part of my point. I mean, I know. I said this in our season-ending episode at Chickies. I said we need to get playmakers on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've done that on the defensive side so far with the secondary, with the moves that they made, especially with Darius Slay. On the offensive side of the ball, you look at them, I think they're going to need to draft some backup offensive linemen because, you know, we've seen the last couple of years, Lane and Brooks and Kelsey, they've been kind of falling apart, and you don't know what you're going to get with Big Puddin on the left side. So they need to get some offensive linemen with these 8 picks. But they need to get one definitely weapon for Carson. Give him the big body, the big toy that's going to make the plays for him, and let's go back to the playoffs next year and make stuff happen, man.
Make
that's,
some noise.
That's all I'm
make
asking.
Make some noise.
Just go out
exactly.
there and take care of it and put some numbers on the board.
Yeah.
Chris, we appreciate you coming out, man, and as usual, all of your insight, which has been so much better than Diaz.
Diaz is
guys,
this
always better than Diaz.
You guys always like dump on him.
Brother, we'll cool. talk to you on Friday.
I'm there.
Be back Friday.
Guess what?
What's up?
I should have my new Mac Daddy laptop.
Are you really?
So we should all be on video by Friday.
Awesome sauce. So I'll be able to stay at home.
You can stay home. Yeah.
Okay. I got mine. You know,
no.
You already...
Honestly, uh-huh. I bought the laptop of all laptops.
Ah, so you went all out.
$3,000 on a laptop. 1 terabyte of memory.
Yeah, that's what Daddy's talking
about. So the Wirecast that we hope to get. That was creepy, right?
Good things, my
Sean Henderson, I'm coming in on Friday with 2 30 packs of Miller Lite and a bottle of Sean Henderson. If you don't, go fuck yourself.
I know.
You are no longer part of the family.
I know.
You just made a commitment. You're coming over with cases of Miller Lite and Jameson. Love it.
Danielle Carter says, woohoo!
Yeah, love that. Love that. Chris,
you late?
We appreciate you, brother. We're going to hang up for now, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Have a good night, guys. Talk to you on Friday.
Thanks, bro. Real. All right, big dog.
Yes, sir.
We're calling this one a night.
We're gonna put a bow on this and put the kids to bed and hope for the best.
Yeah, let's do that.
They're gonna wake up at midnight anyway, wanting to do something and play video games. So let's why not we do it now?
As always, appreciate you being here, baby. All right, you guys signing off. Episode 18 of Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio. We will see you on Friday at 5 p.m.
Boom.
TTP.